către Benamaya. Bro undias către Badre Vendele dias către. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Holy Spirit, this morning we welcome you into this place. We welcome you upon our hearts, upon our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. We receive your power and your love in Jesus' name. Father, right now, fill this place with your love. Fill this place with the power of your Spirit, with the anointing. Let families be changed. Let couples be changed this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Give him a praise offering, church. Again, say fatherhood. You know, what I'm going to speak today I'm going to speak today on three areas of fatherhood. And please excuse me if I just use a bit of tissue. It's nothing I can do. Otherwise, I'll give to Martin and he must carry on preaching. So, like I did last week. Amen. So, you know, we're going to speak in a area of natural fathers. Say with me, natural fathers. Say with me, spiritual fathers. Say with me, national fathers. Those are the three realms, if I can say it like that, three spheres we're going to touch on today in terms of the information that I'm given. So all the information I'm giving, thanks, Bijan, all the information I'm giving is relative to those areas. Are you guys with me? And let me tell you, when we begin to honor fathers again, our natural fathers, our spiritual fathers, and national fathers, when you honor them again, when we as a church begin to honor, you will see the anointing flow like never before. You know, Jesus was in his own hometown. I preached a sermon a long time ago. I titled it, Was There a Time When God Could Not Perform Miracles? And the time was when he was in his son, Jesus Christ, in his own hometown. And the Bible says that he could do no great miracle there, except to lay his hands on a few and only some get healed. Which means and then it goes on, it says, because they only looked at him as Joseph's little boy, the carpenter. They never saw him as Christ, the Son of God. Are you guys with me? And because they undermined him or didn't see him, absolutely not even God could move through that. Wait till you begin to honor natural fathers, spiritual fathers, and fathers of a nation. When I say fathers of a nation, I am not speaking of those who mess up, but you know, how many of you know there are certain fathers or that people that can just change a whole nation? Are you guys with me? They are fathers of a nation. A fatherhood is a gift. Let's go there to the notes. Otherwise, I'm going to carry on talking. Let's go there to notes. On the first page, it says, the greatest crisis in national development is not a lack of money, crime, or unemployment. The greatest crisis of national development in any country is the absence of fathers in the nation and in the home. There's absolutely no substitute for a father. Say with him, no substitute. A teacher is not a father. Listen, some people can teach you, it doesn't mean they're a father. A guardian is not a father. Some people can watch over your kids, but they are not a father. And a friend is not a father. You can have great friendships and you can learn from friendships, but they can't replace that of a father. A father is a gift. It's something that God has placed in a person. Some people can be dads, but not fathers. Are you guys with me? They could have donated sperm, like I said, but it doesn't make them fathers. And a father is somebody that is worthy to be imitated. Say with you, worthy to be imitated. And how many of you, let me just ask you, you know, are you guys enjoying, how many of you are enjoying the notes or not? Okay, because we want to give good teachings through on a Sunday morning. Sunday nights, you know, we preach, we lay hands, we do these things, we pray for the sick, but on Sunday mornings, the strategy that God has given me is to teach the body in the morning so that we can get a good foundation of the word. Let's go on. It says, we have confused these roles with a father and ended up with tragic statistics which drowns a nation. If you wonder whether or not the influence of a father in the lives of children is so important, consider the following. Over the past 10 years, the number of murders, now these are United States statistics, couldn't really get it from South Africa quickly enough. So it says the number of murders committed by teens has risen from 1,000 per year to over 4,000. Over the past 30 years, there has been 550% increase in violent crimes, 400% increase in illegitimate births, a 200% increase, 200% increase in teen pregnancies, a 300% increase in teen suicide. The vast majority of teenagers involved in the statistics I just mentioned are from homes that lack a father. Over 70% of juveniles in state reformaries come from homes without a father. When people lack a father, when they don't have a father, that is when juvenile and rebellion comes out. There's no order. Listen, it is a father. Let me say it like this. The word father means source. Are you guys with me? Which means that Adam was taken from the ground. But Eve was never taken from the ground. Eve was taken out of Adam. Are you guys with me? If you believe in the gospel, if you believe in us, if you believe in what we believe and believe in God, Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. But Eve was taken out of Adam, which means Adam's source is God. But Eve's source is man. Are you guys with me? That's the Genesis that she came out of, that she was taken out of. That's the source that she was taken out of. Meaning, that is why broken homes, when they miss fathers. Now, I hope that any feminist spirit is not going to manifest now, okay? If a thing is getting hard in a woman, then we know there is a devil. We're speaking of God's order here. When a husband is missing in a house, that house is broken. When a husband is missing, in a father is missing in a house, those kids, unless by the grace of God, they are not trained up in the identity that they should be. Mothers cannot give identity. Are you guys with me? It's fathers who give identity. The Bible says that Jesus, when he was baptized, that came out of heaven, and the voice of the Father came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He got his identity from a father in heaven, not from the mother in heaven. Are you with me? And he received his identity. Then from that moment on, you'll see how he moved in power, how he moved in miracles. If you want to move in the power of God, in miracles, it's time to get identity. Many has fathers missing, but listen, we have a heavenly Father. Are you with me? You can have a revelation with the heavenly Father. When you have a revelation with him, an encounter of him, he gives you identity. The Bible says that we are no longer slaves, but we are adopted by the Spirit of God into the house of God. Adopted sons cannot be removed. I'm going to say it again. Adopted sons cannot be removed. In the culture, if you have a true son that you got raised up, you can still kick that son out or disown that son. But when you adopt a son, it is illegal for you to cut that son out. Which means that we have been adopted in Christ. In the house, are you guys with me? Into the kingdom, which means it is illegal for God to cut us out. I'm not speaking about if we are willfully leaving, but for him to disown us, he will never come and say, "You are actually more worth than a true son." Are you with me? And it is this revelation that changed my life. It is this revelation that really began to heal my heart from many brokennesses and changed my life. When I encountered God as a father. Where are we? Listen. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 14 to 16. It says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." Now this is Paul speaking to the church that he planted. He says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, though you might have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you." Say with me, begotten. The word begotten means to give birth. Are you with me? Through the gospel. "Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." Say with me, church. Say, imitate me. Listen, fathers is worthy of being imitated. If there is no imitation, there is no fatherhood. Are you guys with me? Let's go on. The role of a father is so that his children can imitate them. Children don't need to imitate a teacher. They just have to listen to a teacher. Unfortunately, we have our children imitating others out there in the world. because we have not set a perfect role model as a father whom they can imitate. A father is the person that tell you what to do, say what I say, act like me, dress like me, go where I go. Say with me, imitate. Listen guys, the word imitate means this. In the Greek, I think it's mimetos, which means to mimic somebody. If they step this way, you step this way. They wear this cologne, you wear this cologne. They say this, you say this. How many of you know when you have natural children, they want to put on your cologne, they want to sometimes dress like you or do everything. It's a normal thing in them. So that when we imitate, that we can imitate God, our Heavenly Father. Are you guys with me? That is when they came to capture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen, they couldn't find him. He was amongst his disciples. And Judas had to go and point him out and say, this is the one whom I go and kiss. He is the Son of God. Are you guys with me? He is Jesus. And as he walked out and he kissed him, all of a sudden Jesus stood out in the midst of his disciples. Why was he not being able to be seen? Because his disciples imitated him in every area that they could. So when the enemy came, they didn't know which one was Jesus or to be taken out. This is where the devil has lost it. That we thought that when we put Christ on that cross, that it is over. But he didn't know that once Christ was on that cross, that he would begin to have heirs and many brothers in the kingdom. And his seed will go forth and his spirit will come and rest upon many. And he will, as Christ, live inside of many. Which means now the devil doesn't only have one person, but has many millions of believers to contend with. And he doesn't know which one is Christ because of imitation. Are you guys with me? The anointing comes on imitation. And imitation without importation is fake. For those of you that knows our language, okay? Say with me, language. There's a spiritual vocabulary. There's a language of the kingdom. Those languages are words like honor, like father, impartation, revelation. Amen? If you're spiritual, you understand exactly what I said now. If you don't have Jesus, you didn't understand now what I said now. Amen? God bless you. A father is the person that tells you what to do, what I say. Listen, when your child imitates someone else out there, they are actually raised by that person. I'm going to say it again. When a child imitates somebody else out there, that person has now become their father. A father is not a person that teaches you. Anybody can do that. But a father is someone you can be long enough with so that you can imitate them. A father is someone who is present, observable, and whom you can imitate. Many people in this church today using the above statement will realize they never had a father at home. He might have been there or is absent, but he was absent. A father is present. A father is observable. A father is able to be imitated. Are you guys with me? Listen, three things, it's not yet on the notes. Three or four things that fathers do. Number one, fathers give identity. I told it to you earlier. Say with me, identity. Fathers will give identity. They are the ones that make the kids grow up and give them identity. Spiritual father gives spiritual children's identity, a spiritual identity. Number two, fathers always pay a price. Are you guys with me? There's a saying where they say, fathers who plant trees will seldom enjoy the shadow of the tree, the covering of the tree. Another thing is, let me say it like this. If we have natural fathers, sometimes they've paid a price in business, in ministry, whatever it might be. Maybe you have spiritual fathers, natural fathers. They've paid a price so that the children doesn't have to pay that price. When the Bible, the scripture says that Jesus was wounded for our iniquities so that we may be healed. Are you guys with me? If you take that image to a father and a son, fathers are wounded for our iniquities. Fathers are wounded so that we are healed, so that we don't have to go through those same wounds. And when children understand this principle, but wait, my father has paid a price where I don't have to pay that same price. There's a nonsense doctrine going around where spiritual fathers will tell you, you have to pay the same price. No. If they have paid that price, we are paying a different price. Are you guys with me? Which means that if they paid that price, it legalizes me to exactly walk in what they paid for. to live in that. Because Jesus said, by my wounds you are healed. I hope you understand that. Okay, listen. Fathers break the orphan spirit and causes people to become adopted, especially spiritual fathers. They have the ability to break an orphan spirit. Are you guys with me? Fathers have the ability to break bondage and rejection and fear. I'm not going to get into that scripture right now, but the Bible says that we have not been given a spirit to fear. It says that we have been adopted. We are no longer orphan spirits, and the bondage is broken. Listen, on your notes, go there to Exodus 20 verse 12. Exodus 20 verse 12, it says, it's Exodus 20 verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It is amazing that God ties honoring our father to living a life. This is to living a long life, sorry. This is not magic. It's a social principle. If fathers did their jobs in our country, the jails would be empty. So even though this is a spiritual aspect, it is also a social aspect. If fathers would just live long, I mean, if fathers would do their jobs and they are honored, the children would not be juveniles. So the word father in the Hebrew is Abba. Say with me, Abba. And it means source. It means sustainer, progenitor. The word progenitor is somebody that is progenitor, pro-genes. A father, a progenitor is one who sets the DNA. He's the starter of a culture, a DNA and genes. Are you guys with me? As in the church, me who planted the church, what I do in the beginning, I set the tone and the DNA in this church of how it will be, how it is. As a father, you can set the tone and the DNA and the genes in your family. You are the progenitor. Are you guys with me? The word Abba, father means foundation, and it means source of life. Are we proud to be related to the genetic pool of our fathers, or are we ashamed and embarrassed? But listen, God can become your father and give you new genes. God can restructure your chromosomes and give you a new genetic pool. Before we carry on, we're not going to be long. What does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor? The word honor means this. It means to respect, to esteem, admire, encourage someone, to inspire them, to elevate them, to lift someone up, to magnify, to make big, to celebrate someone, talk about them all the time, bragging about somebody, to appreciate, to recognize. Now, before I carry on, listen, I want you to take note that we honor upwards, we honor sideways, and we honor downwards. Are you guys with me? But let's, for argument's sake, say, just as we're going to use this as an example, let's just say honoring upwards. So when we put father and honor together, we say, honor your father, respect your father, esteem your father, admire your father, encourage your father, inspire your father, elevate your father. I know some might get upset, okay? Lift up your father, magnify your father, make big your father, make him big. Celebrate your father, talk about your father all the time, bragging about your father, appreciate your father, recognize your father, and then you will have a protected and long life and inheritance. I hope that painted a picture of honor. Dishonor is what is affecting the body of Christ. One of the greatest diseases is dishonor. Are you guys with me? Listen, how many fathers deserve the list above? How does a man earn that list? You are not a father because you have some kids. Any animal, roach, dog, or a man can make a child. Okay, does your wife do these things in the list to you? Does she elevate you? Does she lift you up? If she doesn't, or does she say, if they only knew who he really is behind closed doors? How many times have I heard this? People come to church, they act all holy, and the wife says, if you only knew that monster behind. Some men say it about their wives, okay? So it's all in there. So say with me, the marks of a perfect father. There's marks, there are traits of a perfect father. And I'm going to let us close with this. I want us to look at the story of Noah. I know Noah doesn't look like the perfect father, but look at the story. Genesis 6 verse 1 to 13. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men And they were beautiful, and they took their wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet this day shall be 100, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And in our Bible college, we'll explain all this for you when we start. We just need support, get our stuff, get people financially support us, and we'll put the best Bible school in, I can promise you now. You know, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord said, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It was a time of great wickedness, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. He was looking at man, and there was not one good thought even in their hearts. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace. Say with me, grace. Listen, when the flood came here by Noah, this was actually the second flood, not the first flood. This flood is recorded even in history. You know that there are historical proofs of the flood that took place. There's historical proof of the flood that took place. But this was the second flood. There was another flood, which Peter speaks about, a first flood, which is not recorded in the Old Testament. This was between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. There was a flood taking place. That was before man was created. There was another civilization living. The book of Ezekiel will tell you, some of you are thinking we're talking weird stuff now. It's just so you don't know your Bible. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesies back before Genesis. And they say, but look, there were cities. There were dwelling places, cities. There were dwelling places. They were walking around. They were doing trading. It was a massive place. And I'm not going to get into who were running them and who was king over them. Okay? We'll get into that into our Bible college. And then they were wiped out. The book of Peter says there was a world that was, a world that is, and the world that is to come. Which means that the world that is to come, we're still going to. We are in the world that was now. But there was a world that was gone, that was destroyed already. That world that was destroyed was in Genesis 1 verse 2. When it says, when the Bible says that the earth was without form and void. And you'll see, according to scripture, it is what we call scriptural analysis. Continual scriptural analysis, where right from the beginning to the end, the Bible will explain to you everything God makes was beautiful and it was good. But why would the earth be without form or void? Because God already made it many years before that, but something destroyed it. Okay? So, and there was a flood that took place that destroyed that. So that is kind of like, then Noah came out of that, then another generation began to live. And this generation had, this generation of Noah had, the Bible says that they were so wicked, every thought of their heart was evil. Listen to this. So the Lord said, I will destroy the earth created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, great in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, and Noah, but verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. So the perfect. The word perfect means mature and right with God, right standing with God. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them all. Now listen, if we look at Noah, you can jump there to the other page, to the first point where it says Noah walked with God. If we look at Noah and the days that there was, we see that Noah was in a wicked time, but he did some things that were right. Are you guys with me? For 120 years, the Bible says Noah preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. He would go to people and preach. Are you guys with me? So let's go to the first point there on the next page. Let me show you something there. When it says Noah walked with God, Genesis 6 verse 8 to 9, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect, meaning right standing and mature in his generations. Noah walked with God. So I want us to look at points in Noah's life that we as fathers can have, because Noah was a perfect father. Listen to this. Noah was a converted man. Number one, he was converted. Two words give a clue as to where Noah stood with the Lord. Grace and just in the scripture. Grace is the unmerited love and favor of God for sinners. Grace shows our sins and provide us with a faith to turn to God for salvation. The word just refers to our standing before God. To be just means to be right with God, to be right in His sight. This is the result of responding to God's grace by exercising faith. Listen, as fathers, we must look into our hearts and our spirits and make sure that we are converted. Are you guys with me? That we are just and standing right before God. Second thing there, it says Noah was a consecrated man. Say with me, consecrated. Okay, the Bible says that Noah was perfect. The word perfect means he was right standing with God. In his walk, in his doings, in his workings, he was spending time with God. He was a preacher of righteousness. Are you guys with me? He was upright and mature. Point number three, is number C there. Noah was a consistent man. Say with me, consistency. You know, as long as I've been with Christianity now, when I say Christianity, since the day I got saved at 18, I was up and down and up and down. I would do a great feat for God and then I would crash. Do a great feat. And I would, after that, I'd get into the ministry, planted the church. And I see the cycle with people. They get saved. They get on fire. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. They're on fire. They can cast out demons. Feels like they can prophesy. They lay hands on people. But it's 2-3 months they on out, and then they come down. There's no consistency. Consistency counts more in the eyes of God. Are you guys with me? I'm telling you, at the end of your life, what will count is, have you done the will of God? Is your family saved? And is your family taken care of? And that's about it. Those are the things we're going to be accountable for. That takes consistency. Are you guys with me? When I look at believers that are consistent, they're coming to church, doesn't matter what happens in their family or their life or their business or their workplace, but they're still here on a Sunday morning, still serving God, praise and worshiping God, lifting up their hands. And some of them are still leaders. They minister to others during the week, have e-groups. And that goes on for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. Say with me, consistency. God blesses consistency. Because consistency shows that you have a history with God. Are you guys with me? When God looks at you, He says, but no, but wait, you have been consistent for 10 years. There's a history we have together. Because of that history, I will bless you like this now. Because of that history, even though it looks like something's going wrong and you need a favor right now, I'll do it simply because you have a history with God. Build a history with Him. Listen, people throw their histories away. Build a history with God. So Noah was consistent. Listen. Go with me to the next point where it says Noah witnessed to others. So first we see Noah walked with God. Secondly, say with me, witness. Noah witnessed. He preached to others. 2 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, and he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. This means that while he was building the ark, he was telling a lost world that the end was coming. He was telling them about a way of escape. Notice here how Noah witnessed. Number one, he witnessed by his conduct. Are you guys with me? Look at what the Bible says about the people around Noah. It says they were wicked. If you look at those verses, they were wicked, a perverse generation. Nothing more wicked lived on the earth but these people that were around Noah. Now look at what the Bible says about Noah. He was a different man from the people around him. He was just and righteous and found faithful. His very life was living, breathing witness to every lost soul they saw. Noah stuck out in that world like a sore thumb. He was a preacher of righteousness. Number two, Noah witnessed through his conversation. Every time Noah would talk to people or open his mouth, he was preaching. Say with me, preaching. Preaching is a gift. In the morning here we teach. In the evenings we go sometimes in a realm of preaching. Listen, when I did evangelism, or when you go out and you do evangelism, and I think Gerard will know this, when you just put up speakers in the street and you start preaching, it is a gift A preaching is a heavenly gift. It is a divine gift. It is by that gift where sinners will just come and begin to listen. Are you guys with me? It is a divine gift, preaching. Never throw that under the bus. Listen, Noah witnessed through his commitment. For 120 years, listen to this. Noah worked and preached. After all that effort, the only converts he had were the members of his own family. Okay? So if God still saves Noah and places his name in the Bible, and he only had about 8 people saved in his whole lifetime, then God is going to do something for you. Some of you have e-groups and all this stuff. Amen? After all that effort, he only got 8 people saved, his family. Surely he became discouraged and frustrated, but he stayed the course and maintained his commitment. There it is again, to the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. One of the greatest proofs of the validity of the testimony is your consistent commitment to live for God, in spite of what others around you are doing. Don't give up. There's a payday at the end of the way. Besides, a steady commitment silences your critics. Are you guys with me? Last point. Let's go to the last point. Noah won his family. So we see Noah walked with God. We see Noah witnessed. And number 3, Noah won his family. Genesis 7 verse 1 to 2. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the dark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female." Listen, Noah was a successful father because he walked with God and because he witnessed to others. But his greatest achievement was this: he won his family. Notice that when we can learn about getting our families to God, listen to this. This blew me away, and I want you just to grab this. He won their respect. Say with me, respect. No, in 6:18 and verse 7, it says that he was just and he had a good family. And in chapter 7, verse 7, I'm not going to go there now, but it says this. It says that when Noah told them to come all onto the ark, they all listened and obeyed him. Are you with me? So yet, then it was time to enter the ark. His sons and their wives followed him. Why? I think the answer is they believed in what he was preaching and what he believed in, because they believed in him. His family knew that Noah's walk with the Lord was the real deal, and they respected him for that, and they followed him wherever he was going. Are you guys with me? When a family can follow the father, I know the father has done a right job. Contrast to Lot, I just put the sentence in there. You'll see Lot running and his wife coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wife stops following him and turns around to look at the back, and she became a pillar of salt. Noah's family followed him wholeheartedly. One word of obedience. Are you guys with me? Lot's family questioned him and they looked back. So it tells you what a father Lot was and what father Noah was. Amen. So number 2 there, he won their response. Genesis 7 verse 7, when they all went into the ark, they followed Noah into the ark. Then when the rains fell and the rest of the world perished, they were saved. I would submit to you that the greatest accomplishment of this life, of the life of this great man, was the fact that he was able to see his children saved. This eclipsed everything else he did in his life. And he got drunk and slept with his daughter, okay? So he made some mistakes. When all is said and done, will your children follow your faith? I know that their decision is purely between them and the Lord, but I also know that they may base what they do and what they see in your life. Determine in your heart today that you will do everything in your power to see your family get in the ark with you. With conclusion, I want us just to ask ourselves these questions before we get there. Noah was a successful, perfect father because of his achievements, because of how he walked with God, he witnessed to others, and how he won his family. As we look at Noah, listen, these questions I want us to ask ourselves, whether we are fathers, mothers, not fathers yet, that's fine. Are you saved and in a relationship with the Lord? Question mark. Are you living a consecrated, consistent life before those who are watching you? Are you sharing what you have with others? Is your family in the ark? Have you seen things in you or in those around you that need to be changed? If you need to bring these things or any other things to God, now is the time to come. To our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for your presence. I pray that every person here will have peace and enjoyment on this day, Father's Day. And that tonight you bring them safely back. There's going to be a move of your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Love you.